I know, man. Let me get unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yay! Hi!
Good morning. How are y'all doing today? Is everybody doing good? Good. Hope you're not asleep already. Maybe not. We're women. We've been up since before the sun come up. I know us. Well, welcome. Welcome to Ladies' Day at Etheridge. I am pumped to be here. I cannot tell you how excited I am. And I'm probably going to walk some too. How excited I am to be here. When I was asked, I was like, yes, well, I was text, you know, because that's how you do. That's how you ask people now. You text, which I love. So I was texting, yes. And I was just, oh, yes, I'll be there. And my husband was sitting there going, where are we going now? And I said, you're not going anywhere, you know. So I was so excited. But I know you could have been a million different other places, but you chose to come here. And you don't know how much this church, this congregation, and Midway congregation, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking good today, sis. Yeah. I teach kindergarten, so we're going to be really interactive today, okay? That's why I talk with my hands, so we're going to be interactive. But you, I can't thank you enough for coming. You are such an encouragement to me, and I hope today, if you do nothing else, you learn a little bit about our Lord and you laugh a little bit. Hopefully you learn a lot about our Lord and you laugh a lot, but we're going to start with little, you know. But I'm so glad to see you. Have you not had goosebumps already? This singing, y'all, the hair on the back of my neck and the back of my legs was just standing up. I mean, it was like, that is gorgeous. That is gorgeous. If heaven has singing half as good as this, we're in for a treat. That's amazing. And the food we had this morning, I love sausage balls, and I really wanted to go back and get more, but I didn't. I'm saving it for y'all. But I am so glad to be here. My name is Kara Jo Long Farr. I used to be Kara Jo Long, and 22 years ago, a hunk of burning love named Matthew. Hang on, I need a minute. He asked me to be his wife, and he is dreamy. I mean, just, he's dreamy. He's dreamy. He is like 6'1", and I'm like 5 foot in my heels. These are my heels right here. And don't look at my pants. My hem came out of my pants at school. So instead of stapling it, I safety pinned it all the way around. And I forgot, and that's been a year, so it's still safety pinned. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. But Matthew, if you ever get the chance to see Matthew Farr, he is so good looking. And we've been married 22 years, and he gets better looking every day. But I'm glad to be here. I'm so tickled to have some friends and family here. My Aunt Laura, who's my daddy's sister, she's my favorite aunt, and I'm her favorite niece. And we're about the same height, and that's why I love her so much. That's why I love her so much. And her daughter, Holly, who I adore, and Holly goes to church here, and I'm so thankful to all of her sister-in-laws. And I just love my family, so thank you, thank you, thank you. And my friends, now I'm going to tell you something. Julie Tidwell is here. And Julie Tidwell and I became really good friends on a boat, okay? I taught at Mount Pleasant for 9 years. And I live in Hornwald, but I taught at Mount Pleasant for 9 years. And now I'm back in Hornwald. I've been there for 9 years. But when I taught with Julie, the first trip we ever went on, I mean, I knew Julie, but she kind of scared me, okay? She kind of scared me because Julie's just, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And I'm like, okay, okay, whatever. So Julie and I and probably about 4 or 5 other friends go down to this river house, Lars Sandrell's father-in-law's, this river house at some river, Tennessee? Yeah, that's where, yeah, it's Tennessee River. So we get on a boat. Well, as you can tell, I am not the smallest fish in the sea, but I do like to have a good time. So we decided to get this big raft, okay, 3-person raft, and I'm in the middle, and they carry me all across the Tennessee River, and I'm hanging on, just laughing and having a ball until it's time to get out of the boat, out of the raft. Well, they tell me, Julie's like, just step from the raft to the boat. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, she don't know what she's talking about. So I flip off in the Tennessee River to try to get it in the boat. Okay, so picture this. The ladder's right here. That ain't gonna happen at all. So I'm just like, y'all just leave me here. I'll be okay. And Julie's like, we're not leaving you in the Tennessee River. You got to get in the boat, you know, because Julie's that way. And I was like, but I just can't. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So Julie jumps off in the water, and another friend jumps off in the water, and y'all, they take and they push me like up, push me up. Well, I think it's funny. They don't, but I do. And when you get excited and after you've had two kids, your bladder goes. So I peed all over them. And they still didn't think it was funny, but I did. And they finally got me on the side of the boat, and I'm just hanging on, just dying laughing. And Julie's like, you know, they're not happy with me. But after 35 minutes, they finally get me into the boat, and I had bruises like forever. I think I had a thumbprint of Julie in my hip back here. But Julie and I became real good friends. So everybody needs a friend like Julie. Everybody needs a friend like Julie. Turn to your neighbor and say, everybody needs a friend like Julie. And then turn to your other neighbor and say, everybody needs an aunt like Laura Faye. But that's my friend Julie. But we have, and one more thing about Matthew. Girls, if you're not married, this is what you need to reach for, okay? My son Cole, and you'll hear me talk about Cole and Blake a little bit. Cole is in eighth grade, and he plays football, basketball, and baseball. And Cole, he thinks he's going to the NFL. I'm fine with that. So he signs up and he plays with the NPA, and they help him to like get his name out there and everything. Well, we're at Father Ryan for practice one weekend, and we're sitting there, and it's hot, y'all. I mean, it's hot. But I look good, and I had on my little black pants, and I had on a shirt, and I had my little sunglasses on, and my son was out there, you know, and I was trying not to sweat, but it was hot. So my husband says, well, let's just sit here on the sidewalk. So we sit on the sidewalk. Well, I'm sitting there, and the longer I sit, I think, my pants have melted to my bottom. And I keep looking over at Matthew, and he's not sweating, and I'm like, no, seriously, I think. And I said, Matthew, do we have ice and Coke's cooler? And he said, yeah. I said, will you put some under this butt cheek? And he said, you want me to do what? I said, you heard me, just put ice under my butt cheeks. And he was like, seriously? I said, do I look like I'm kidding? So I rolled over and he puts ice under here. Then I roll over this way and he puts ice here. And he said, you're going to have wet pants. I said, they're melted to my body. I don't care. So I'm sitting there. Well, you know, it helps. So then when I get up, he starts laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? He said, well, you've either peed or the ice is melted. I said, don't care. So you need to find a husband that will put ice under your bottom cheeks. And I told Matthew, I said, you know, I think this would be a good lesson that if that place down there is half as hot as what I've been sitting on, I ain't going. Because I'm afraid nobody will be down there to put ice under me. But, so, you need to find a man like that. Now, I do have two boys. I have Blake, who is 20. He was born on 9/9/99 at 9:39 at night. I know, it's pretty cool, isn't it? And he weighed 6 pounds. So I was happy with that. Cole, his birthday's in July sometimes. You know, when you have a second child, and a third and a fourth, you just don't keep up with their stuff. And Cole's birthday is in July. I think it's July the 18th. It's 18th. It's Briar's birthday, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you. See, look at Holly and say, thank you, Holly. Yeah. His birthday is July the 18th. And Blake is going to school to be a funeral director, and he works at the funeral home in Lewis County. And I got tickled because he called me one day, and I was like, hey, baby, where are you? And he said, oh, I'm just in a funeral procession. And I was like, are you calling me from the hearse? He said, yeah, I just need to. I said, oh, put me on speaker. And he was like, Mom, you're sick. I said, that's so cool. You're in a funeral. He was like, Mama, hush. Just, you know. But he said, I need to tell you. And I was like, no, that's so cool. But I'm weird like that. But he moved out of our house in April, and he lives in the funeral home. Yeah. That was Matthew's response. He said, how do you feel knowing our son moved from our house to a funeral home? I said, well, seems like we're pretty dead around here. They didn't think it was funny, but I think it is. But he also has given us a grand dog, and I never thought I would be a dog person. I still don't like cats. I'm sorry if you do, and please don't throw anything, but dogs, I can tolerate them. But he's given us Felix, and Felix is a black and white border collie, and Felix likes his KK. Now, he really likes his big daddy, Matthew, and Matthew adores him. But I never thought I'd be a dog person, but I kind of am now. So Blake has Felix, and then Cole still lives with us. Cole's going to live with us till the day he goes to the NFL. Cole is Cole. He's in eighth grade, and he's about 5'10", and he weighs about 270. And he can pick me up, and he thinks that's cool. And he has a new girlfriend, and I'm okay with that right now. But it's fun at my house. It's just really fun at my house. So that's where I come from. I teach school in Lewis County. I teach kindergarten. And just right before we went on fall break 2 weeks ago, a little kid came running up to me. He was like, Miss Farr, somebody wrote on the toilet. And I was like, seriously? I mean, we've been writing words. So I was excited. And I thought, okay. But then I thought, on the toilet, really? And I said, okay. I said, are you sure? Yes, it's on the toilet. There's words on the toilet. So I go in there, and I look, and I'm like, where? He said, right there. And I said, honey, that says American Standard. That's the people that made the toilet. So he was like, huh. He said, well, it's an uppercase A. I said, yes. And let's look at that S. And I was like, wait a minute. I cannot be showing the kids stuff on the toilet. But I teach kindergarten. We go to church at Lomas in Lewis County. We've been there 22 years, and we'd love to have y'all come visit sometime. But that's me. Now, I'm not a great Bible scholar. I will tell you that. And there are people, y'all know more about the Bible than I do. But I'm here to help us open up the Bible and maybe look at scriptures in a little different way and just to have fun. So if that's okay with y'all, that's okay by me. Is that okay? All right, well, turn to your neighbor and say, let's get it on. Well, oh, one more thing you need to know about me. That's probably important because I said, now, we've got to be out of here by like 9:45. And she was like, well, yeah. And I said, okay, I need to tell you that I stutter. And if I start stuttering, it'll be a little bit longer than 9:45. Sorry. But I do stutter. I've stuttered all my life. And that's actually how I knew Matthew was my soulmate, because when I was with him, I didn't stutter. And one day I said something about stuttering, and he said, you don't stutter. This was while we were dating, while he was chasing me. He said, you don't stutter. I said, yeah, I do, really, I do. He's like, you do not stutter. I said, yes, I do. So I called my mom. I was like, Mama, tell him I stutter. And she was like, yes, she really does. And he was like, for real? So that's how I knew he was my man, because I didn't stutter around him. Oh, and something else I've started doing, I've started working out. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Actually, I've started walking on a treadmill at a gym in Lewis County every morning at 5 o'clock. But I didn't walk this week, and I'll tell you why. On a treadmill, it has a speed, okay? Speed is there for a reason, for a purpose. And when your legs are like 2 feet long, you should not walk above a certain speed. That's not right. Matthew walked with me one day. He was beside me walking, and I mean, I was going to run. Yeah, I know, that is funny itself. But I thought, I'm going to run for 15 seconds. So I was running, and I mean, I was doing good. And I look over, and he's laughing, and I'm like, well, first off, uh-uh. He said, no, I'm laughing. He said, you're running on 2.9. He said, I'm walking on 4.9. And I said, well, giraffe legs, you don't make fun of people. But 2 weeks ago, I decided I'm going to kick it up to 3. I'm going 3. Big girl is going 3. We're going 3 today. And I think I tore something in my shoulder. Not from falling off, just from holding on, thinking, dear Lord, if you get me off of this, I'll never get back on this again. So, and I think it should have been a sign when on my iPod that I was listening to, I have everything from gospel to rap to country, just everything. Well, the song that I was listening to when I started hurting was Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. And then when I decided I probably should slow down, a gospel song, When I've Gone the Last Mile of the Way, came on. So I thought, okay, it may be time. But I hurt something in my shoulder. So this week I didn't go to the gym. Matthew said, you probably should stay home and rest. I said, yeah, I think you're right. So I haven't been this week. So I put on a few more pounds in my feet, but I'm feeling pretty good. It's all right. But that's me. That's me. All right, ladies. Well, let me just, I can't be here without telling this story too, since we're talking about words. About 10 years ago, Blake and I came over here for a kids rally. And it was me and Blake, and he's my good child, me and Blake, and this friend of ours from church and her son. And as we're coming over here in our truck, I'm driving and Blake's behind me and I can see him through the mirror, the rearview mirror. And all of a sudden he says, okay, so what is said in the truck stays in the truck, right? Well, I'm like, because you know what you say at home, and you say, now listen, what happens at our house, we don't tell everyone. Well, all of a sudden Blake says, what do you think about that woman at church, so-and-so? She gets on our nerves. Does she get on y'all's nerves like she does ours? And I'm like, Well, it happens to be the woman's friend. And she's like, well, I kind of like her. And Blake's like, I don't like her at all. And her daughter, and I'm going, oh, no. So every time I come over here, I think about that. And I told Blake this morning, he had a funeral. And I called him and I was like, hey, you remember going to Etheridge? And he was like, is that where I said? I said, yeah, that's where you said what you said, buddy. So, but you know, it does have some resemblance, not really resemblance, it does have some connection with our lesson today, our words, and how important our words are. Have you ever heard that song, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say? There's a Father up above. Have y'all heard that song, or is that just a Hornwall song? Okay, so you've heard that, right? And that's so true. We have people watching us and listening to us and hearing us all the time. All right, girls. Oh, and one, I do have another thing. You know, as you get older, some of the things that you say may be not taken the way you mean them. Do y'all ever do that? Do y'all ever say something that's not taken the way? Tuesday night, I was at the funeral home because this lady, precious lady, had passed away. And she was at our church at Kimmins when I was growing up. And I was in line behind another precious lady who I love that woman. And we were talking, and this other girl walked up, and she said, oh, is that her granddaughter? And I said, yeah, it is. I said, she's so sweet, isn't she? And she said, yeah. She said, you know, she's gained a lot of weight. And I was like, well, you know, yeah. She's like, she's gained a lot. She's up to 190 pounds. And I was like, I wish I was 190 pounds. That's pretty good. And I was like, well, that's a pretty good number. And she's like, and she just kept going on and on about how big 190 pounds was. And finally, I looked at her and said, well, you know, I'm pushing 189. So I might need to walk a little bit more. And she said, yeah. But I thought, bless her heart, you know, sometimes we say stuff, and what we say is not how we mean it to say. But I got tickled. I told my husband about it, and he started laughing. He said, do you weigh 100? I said, yeah, I weigh 179 on this leg. But have you ever wondered about the things that you do say? Our scripture this morning is in Proverbs. And Proverbs, I love that book. It applies godly wisdom to many aspects of our everyday life. Have you ever thought about that? And you know, throughout this book, it has wisdom, and that's a lifestyle of obeying God, and how that's set to folly. It's in contrast to folly. And ladies, we should live our lives in a manner that is pleasing to God, in our words and our actions and everything. Proverbs, I read somewhere it said it's a wealth of practical guidelines for everyday decision-making as a lifelong, life-changing pattern of character, development, and purpose. Now, let that kind of sink in for just a minute. This whole book here, this is how we fight our battles. This is how we get through life right here. But everything in here is not just put in here by chance. It's from God, and it's how we need to live our lives. And Proverbs is an excellent place to go to. I also love how you can read smaller groups of these verses, and they can apply in so many ways. And it does have some humor in it, and I love humor. I believe you need to laugh every day. You do. You really need to laugh every day. Sometimes you laugh to keep from crying, but you do. You need to laugh. So let's just dig into it this morning. Have you ever wondered how many words you speak in a day, in an hour, in 10 minutes? I'm glad there's not a step counter for that, because y'all, sometimes I feel like I've said 7,453 words just in a day. Do y'all feel that way? Do y'all ever feel that way? Especially if you teach kindergarten. Yesterday I got tickled because I was sitting there tying a shoe, and I was like, why is your shoelace wet? And then I was talking to him, another little girl comes up, yes, you may go use the restroom. And then another boy comes up, please go blow your nose. And then a teacher comes in, I would love to have Snappies. Let's order Snappies for lunch. And then another little boy comes out, I'm like, honey, I will tie your shoe in just a minute. And then I thought, phew, I'm tired. But you know what? Our minds go every different way, and we talk to so many people every way. As I was researching this lesson and studying about it, I saw that for every one negative word you speak, it takes 5 positive words to cancel that out. Now let that sink in for just a minute. I read that and I thought, really? But think about it. How many times has somebody said something to you negative and it stuck, right? I mean, like, I can tell you to this day what a woman at church said to me 20 years ago after I had Blake. She was like, when's your baby due? And I was like, well, I had him last week. And you're still that big? And I was like, yeah, I am. But you know, I mean, stuff sticks with you, doesn't it? It sticks with you. If you think about babies and think about when they're in the mother's womb and how people say talk to them, sing to them, they need to hear you. That's true. That is so true. I can't tell you how many kids I see in kindergarten who aren't spoke to. And you see it more and more every year with this thing. It's really sad. And I thought, no, it's not that bad. But it is. I mean, they constantly have to be interacted with. And some people just think this is the way to do it. And it's not. It's really not. Now, yes, I do have this up here, but I'm keeping my time. But I mean, still, we need to be talking to our babies and our kids, and we need to be communicating. It's unreal how important everyday speaking is to others. Now, every time we speak, we have a choice. We can build people up or we can tear them down. Every time we speak. Now, I know that you all probably have somebody in your mind who you think, oh, when you were around that person, do you ever think, now don't name them out loud, and don't be looking at anybody either, but do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like, oh, I want to avoid that person at Walmart because I know they have nothing good to say, and it just ruins your whole day, doesn't it? But then on the other side, you also know people who make you feel good, right? And who you just kind of gravitate to, and you want to be around them. Especially those Proverbs 31 women, you want to be around those, don't you? Because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. So let's turn right now to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. I'm a teacher. I'm sorry. I do that all the time. It's at church. When I'm teaching ladies class, I'm like, all right, ladies, what part of the Bible is this in? That's just habit. Sorry. But Proverbs was written by who? Primarily Solomon in his wiser days. And the heart of Proverbs is wisdom. Wisdom. It deals from everything from relationships, money, choosing a good companion, being content, and everything in between. Proverbs is such a neat book. It takes wisdom and it puts it up against follies. This book is needed today just like it was needed years and years and years ago. Now, let's look at Proverbs 16:24. I'm going to read you about one, two, three, about four different versions. I love different versions. I love them because some of them I can understand. I have a kindergarten mind. So when you try to tell me something that's in fifth grade, I'm not smarter than a fifth grader. Just saying. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste and health to the body." Now, I read that from the Christian Standard Bible. The NIV says, "Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." The Easy to Read version says, "Kind words are like honey. They are easy to accept and good for the heart." And then the New King James version says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Okay, there's several versions here, but they all say the same thing. What are they saying about our words? They need to be what? Pleasant and kind. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Pleasant and kind." No, you got to say kind like this. Kind. Kind. See, it gives it a whole new meaning. It's like we're speaking Italian or something. Okay, what are they like? They're like honey and honeycomb. So turn to your buddy and say, "Honey and honeycomb." I love how some of y'all are. I love that. Y'all are good. Pat yourself on the back. And jazz hands. I love that. Okay, and what are they doing to our soul? They're sweet and easy to accept. Turn to somebody else and say, "Sweet and easy to accept." They are. And what are they doing to our bones? They're giving us health and they're healing and they're good. So turn to your neighbor and go, "Healing and good."
Healing good.
Oh, and y'all even did. Oh, I love y'all. Please have me back. I love y'all. Okay, so this book will change your life. This book is what we need to change the world. Our shirts, "Be the change you want to see in the world." Where are we going to start, ladies? Right here in this book. Right here in this book. This will change our life. This will change our world. We need it. We need it. Now, in our next half hour, in our next lesson, we're going to dive into it and see how we can be that change. We may not think we can, but we can change the world, ladies. Our world can be tough. It's not fun sometimes. It's not fun at all. But guess what? We can be the change that we want to see. We can be the honey in a sour world. Have you ever looked at something and thought, "That's just sour"? There's lots of things in our life that's just sour. There's no easy way around it. It's just sour. But we can be that honey and we can smooth that out and we can make things better. So today, girls, as we get into this, we're going to open up God's Word and know that it is sweet to taste and it is good for the heart. So we're going to take a little break now. Please don't leave. Stay around for the next time. Think that you're all that and a bag of chips, even though you might be. But you don't need to think that. You need to let other people tell you. And I'll tell you why. One morning going to Mount Pleasant, I had on some new Yellow Box flip-flops. How many of y'all like Yellow Box flip-flops? Oh, girl, y'all are my soul sisters. I love Yellow Box flip-flops. And I had bend down to paint my toes. So my toes matched, and they were looking good. At that time, Matthew worked nights, and he didn't see me when I left. So I called him. I always called him every morning, and I was like, "Baby, I'm so sad you did not see me this morning, because I'm looking so cute." And he laughed, and he was like, "I'm sure you are." I said, no. I said, "I've got my hair, you know, because some days your hair just does what you want it to do. Men don't believe that, but it does. Some days are better than others." And my hair was looking good, and I had my makeup. I mean, I don't wear much. I wear three things. It was spot on, and I had some new little capris, and they were just blowing in the wind. And when I went out of my house, I heard the birds singing, and I was like, "I know, I'm so cute." I mean, I was really feeling it. You know, have you ever felt those days where you like, "Sister's got it going on"? So I go all the way to Mount Pleasant, and I'm like, "Matthew, I'm so," and I even took a picture of myself. I said, "I'm sending this to you because I'm so cute." I said, "You are one lucky man." And he did what y'all did. He laughed. He said, "Yeah, I sure am." So I get out at Mount Pleasant. Well, at Mount Pleasant, the car rider line goes in front of the school. So you park here, you walk across the car rider line, and you get to the school. And when I got out of the car, it was like more birds. Oh, and I thought, yes, I've arrived. You're a first grade teacher. You know, I'm all excited. And the car rider line, it's moving, and I'm just waving at the boys and girls, you know. Well, as I'm walking, my toe hangs on the corner of the sidewalk. Actually, the corner of the little lip that you walk over, you know, where your car stops. And I just, and I rolled and rolled and rolled up under a car. Yeah. So as I'm laying there thinking, please, Lord, just kill me now. Please. Officer Barnes, and I love Officer Barnes, and he knows I love him. And he comes running, and the first thing I say is, I don't need mouth-to-mouth. I don't need mouth-to-mouth. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, yeah, yes. Well, then I hear the kids going, she's dead. I think she's dead. She's dead. And I'm just laying there thinking, if only I was. I mean, like, really? Well, he helps me up, and I'm laughing and crying, you know, crying from laughing. And I look down, and I think, I have peed. I mean, it's rolling down my legs, and I'm like, and then I'm thinking, I've peed. And he's like, I said, just get, my room is the second room. I'm like, just get me to room two. He's like, no, you gotta fill out an accident report. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I go in the office, and I look down, and I have bloody knees. Blood and pee are just rolling down my knees. And they're like, oh, Miss Ford, we gotta call. And I'm like, no, don't call anybody. I mean, I stopped the car rider line. Is that not enough? So I have to fill out an accident report. Then the only pants they could find me is in the lost and found. It's a big gym shorts. So I'm wearing this beautiful shirt with like gym shorts. And I teach the rest of the day in a wheelchair with both legs propped up with ice going down. So then at lunchtime, I call Matthew calls me at lunch, and he's like, hey, baby, how you doing? And I'm like, yeah. I said, well, God has a sense of humor, and he wants me to realize that you shouldn't be high and mighty. You need to let other people. Now, it's okay to let other people tell you you're cute, you're doing great. So turn to your neighbor right now and say, girl, you're looking good. See, that's fine. That's fine. You just don't need to be saying to yourself, I'm looking so good. I'm looking good. So that's a little freebie there. That's a little freebie there. Another thing, this, and I'm trying to figure, I didn't think I was looking cute, but maybe. Last Sunday at church, let me back up. Sunday morning at church, you know how you wear your outfit, what you wear. Well, then I went somewhere after church and I had on the same outfit. No, I changed. I had on a different outfit. I was up in my classroom because, yeah, see, I'm like, rabbit squirrel, you know, that's just me. Maybe that's why I'm in kindergarten. But I was at school because teachers go to school all the time. So Sunday afternoon, Matthew was asleep and Cole was talking to his girlfriend and Blake was doing a funeral. So I thought, I'll go work in my classroom. So I went in my classroom and I had to go to the bathroom. Well, the bathroom in my room is like there. And I use that only on emergencies, but I thought I'll walk down to the teacher's bathroom. So I'm the only one in school, the only one in the whole building. And when I go to pull my breeches up, something runs up my leg. Well, I just scream, you know, and then I realize it's a string that I had that I pulled with my pants, you know, and I thought, okay, had a heart attack, I'm good, you know, so I stick it in my side of my pants, didn't think nothing about it, you know, okay. So I go home and I change into our Sunday night service look, what you wore Sunday morning, you know. And we're standing there singing, you know, and we've had church and Matthew's beside me and we're singing and all of a sudden he looks over and he sees a string. Well, he starts pulling it. Well, while he's pulling it, I'm like, I could feel something like back up in here. And I was like, stop. And he said, but you've got a string. I said, I know, don't pull it. He said, but I'm going to tear. I said, no, I think it's my underwear. And he was like, what? I said, don't, just leave it. So he's trying, like, no, I'll put. Well, the lady behind us, she's like, and I'm like, I know. He said, I'm just trying to help you. I said, but I think the string is attached to my underwear. So while you're pulling the string, it's undoing my underwear. In church, I mean, you know, and here I'm trying to be holy, 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 and it's not working. So I'm still trying to figure out why he did that, because I was like, so then after church, I made a beeline for the bathrooms. And while I was in there, I just kept pulling, and I thought, I have never in my, so I finally got it out, and I thought, that was it. So there's your little freebie right there. Okay, well, let's look closer at Proverbs 16:24. Words we are speaking all the time, and here are these words. How are we using those words every day of our life? Now, I believe there's three ways, after studying this and looking at it from all different kinds of angles, I was sitting there thinking one day, you know what? We need to use our words three ways. The first way is to encourage. Now, when you encourage somebody, you're trying to keep them to keep doing what they're doing, right? Right? Yes. Thank you, thank you. We need to try to keep, have people keep doing what they've been doing. And that's what God wants us to do. One of the ways to use our words is to keep encouraging people. We all know those moms who bring their babies to church every Sunday. Some of us have been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and thank goodness we don't have to do it no more. Because it's hard, isn't it? It is hard having kids in church. There's this one girl, bless her heart, she has a little boy, Charlie, and he's 3, and it's not helping that my husband's going, woo-woo-woo-woo. And I'm like, quit, we'll have grandkids one day, and people are going to be doing, you know. But Charlie loves everybody, and Charlie is, ah! You know, some people that would bother. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother us. You want to know why? That's the future of your congregation right there. Those babies, those mamas may not realize it, but they're doing a great job right there. I don't know about y'all, but there were some Sundays I got home and I thought, did we even have preaching? Because my child was up underneath Blake, my good one. I'll never forget. We were on the back row at Lomax one Sunday, and he never did anything. Never. He was the perfect child. But he got underneath the pew, and this little old man, Herschel Spears, precious man, Blake went and grabbed a hold of his legs. Well, I was trying to get him out. Well, he was dragging Herschel off the pew. And I was like, no! You know, and Blake was just, he thought that was the best thing ever. Well, when Matthew took him out, he's all excited. But when Matthew brought him in, he sat down, he said, I'll not do that no more. I'll not do that no more. But I mean, that day, I thought I got nothing out of that lesson. But you know what? Blake still goes to church. We need to encourage those young mamas who are coming. Even some of them come without their husbands. I don't see how they do it. I really don't. But they do. They do. Encourage them. We need to encourage our young men who are leading prayers and leading singing. That takes a lot of courage to do. If you don't believe it, watch them. Lewis County did parent-teacher conferences Thursday night, and the middle school did student-led conferences. Well, my eighth grader, who I just send his teachers messages, do you need to see me? We're good now. Well, I was telling Matthew about it. Matthew said, oh, I'm going to these. So he took Cole to two conferences, and Cole had to lead that, and he had to tell his daddy what he had done in math and science and all this stuff. And Matthew videoed one of them for me, and I was sitting there going, it's my baby. But in that video, he was just shaking, and I was like, why is he, that's his dad. Well, he is kind of scared of his daddy, but I was like, I mean, he was just, and then Matthew asked some question, and Cole goes, sir, you have to save those questions to the end of our conference. I was like, yeah, that's my boy right there. But you know what? We need to encourage. They get nervous. They get nervous just like we do. Even though he's up. Oh, he did score 2 points. Now this, okay. I got to tell you this. His last regular football game, Cole is the center. He's the center on offense, and he's the tackle on defense. And he flattens people is what he likes to do. Well, at halftime, we were leading 42-0. And at halftime, he comes running out. He's like, Mom, Mom. We know everybody knows their kids when they say Mom. I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, if we score one more touchdown, I'm going to run the ball. And I'm like, you going to do what? I mean, you don't run. He don't run nowhere. He's like, yeah, they're going to let me run the ball. And I'm thinking, you're going to run the ball? Well, we scored. Then third quarter, didn't score a time. Fourth quarter, we scored. And I heard the sideline go, far, far, far. Well, I was like, Rudy, 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 Rudy. And I'm all excited, you know, and I'm like, this is it, this is it. So I had to take my camera out and I'm videoing. Well, I see him out there and he's like, he's shaking. And I'm wanting to go, oh, oh, oh. And he's counting. And I'm thinking, I find out later he's trying to find which hole he has to go through. But they hiked the ball, they gave it to him, and y'all, he ran in the end zone. He had four people on him, but I mean, he was just, and I mean, of course, I was just, so I'm squalling. He comes over on the sidelines. He's fist, you know, bumping. When he bumps them, they fly off. I'm so excited, and then his coach is like, Kara, come here. And I'm like, squalling. I'm like, you want me to climb the fence? What do you want me, you know? He hands me the game ball. Yeah, y'all know, yeah. I stood there by the fence, and everybody was clapping, and I mean, I'm just squalling. I'm thinking, that's my baby. That's my baby. And that's why he's my favorite, but that's my baby. That's my baby. Well, he is my favorite till yesterday morning. We stopped at McDonald's to get breakfast because I'm a good mama, and I don't cook breakfast a lot. So we went to McDonald's, and I got his two sausage and biscuit and my one bacon and biscuit. And when we get to my room, and he's packing his Sonic, which is his lunch, because I didn't pack his lunch either. That's how I roll. That's how I roll. So he's packing his jumbo chicken and jumbo tater tots, you know, in his lunchbox. And I'm like, hey, mama loves you. So he goes on to his classroom. Well, a little bit later, we're selling candy bars for the Honors Club because he's in the Honors Club and mama's selling the candy bars. So he brings me another box over to sell. And I said, hey, where's my bacon and biscuit at? He's like, oh, it's in my room. I'll bring it back to you. I'm like, okay, he's still a good son. Still a good son, you know. So he goes over, comes back, brings me my breakfast. Well, actually, he threw it to me. And I was like, thank goodness it's still in the wrapper. Well, he goes on back. Well, I open up and it's a sausage and biscuit. Well, I'm kind of picky. I didn't want that, so I sent his teacher a message, and I said, will you ask my precious son if he has my bacon and biscuit? And she sends back, in all caps, he ate it. So I send back, shocked faces going, do what? She said, he ate it. And I said, well, tell him his mother will just starve. And she sends back and says, he says to get over it, you'll be fine with sausage. Okay. So I send back and I said, yeah, you tell him he'll be fine with cheese on his stuff at the Mexican restaurant, ketchup on his fries, because he's weird. He doesn't like ketchup. Ranch dressing on his buffalo's chicken, because he doesn't like that either. And mama loves him. But you know, I thought, little boy, so this lesson has hit me hard because the words we speak, sometimes we speak kinder to people who don't live in our house. Now, I do. I'm not talking about all of y'all, but I do. And it hit me in this study. I've cried in this study because I thought, you know, sometimes I don't speak to Matthew like I should. And sometimes I don't speak to my boys like I should. And yesterday morning, I was mad, y'all. I was mad over a bacon and biscuit because when you get up at 5 and you're supposed to be working out, but you're not. And then you go to McDonald's and you get a bacon and biscuit for $2. And then you get to there and you think, I just won't take my bacon and biscuit in my chair. And then you have sausage and it's like. But I did choose the nice words and I was like, mama loves you. But then last night when I picked him up from basketball practice, he got in the car and I said, put your phone down. We need to talk about something. And he was like, what? What'd I do, Mama? What, Mama? And I mean, he's grabbing my hand. Mama, what'd I do? What'd I do? And I said, I can deal with sausage. And when he started laughing, and he said, Kara. And he was moving. He said, Kara, you know I love you. You know I love you, Kara. You know I love you. I said, yeah, but you were my favorite. Now you dropped right here. He said, yeah, but where's Blake? I said, well, Blake's still here. But you know. He's just more lovable. I'm sorry. He's just more lovable. No, they're both my favorite at times. But I thought, okay, you know, my words, sometimes I would just have, you know, but our words. All right, well, let's get into it. The first thing we need to encourage others. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. This book I love. At Lomax on Wednesday nights, we have a ladies' class. And our preacher's wife, Jessie, and I, we take turns studying. We take turns teaching that class. I think she she helped me out a little bit because we were getting in the New Testament, and she said, well, I'll teach this, this, and this if you want Revelations. I was like, I'm sorry, Revelation. I was like, nope, I'll take, because that's some hard stuff, y'all. And so she's teaching that now, and I'm like, thank goodness I did not have to teach it. I had to sub for her one Wednesday night, and I was like, nobody asked anything because I don't know anything about Revelation. I don't know, because that's hard. That's some hard stuff. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Here, Paul is encouraging the church at Thessalonica, and he's encouraging them to keep on keeping on. He starts in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and he says, Paul and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always thank God for all of you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so he says they remember their what? Work. Say work. Thank you. Glad you are listening. He remembers their work produced by what?
Faith.
Ooh, yeah, faith. Good. Your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by in who? Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we do good things, most of the time we have good intentions, right? And doing good is good. But sometimes we get weary, don't we? Or I do. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like, all right, I've helped this. I've taught this Bible class every Sunday morning. I mean, come on, it's time for somebody else. But don't grow weary. We need to encourage each other. We need to keep on keeping on, just as Paul was encouraging the church here. Keep on going down to chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, additionally, then, brothers and sisters, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received instruction from us on how you should live and please God, as you are doing, do this even more. Keep doing good. Keep encouraging those people to do those things, and keep encouraging our preacher, our elders, our deacons, our preacher's wives, our elders' wives, our deacons' wives. We need to encourage those. Our members' wives. Those, anybody, we need to encourage them to keep on keeping on. He reminds them, too, that the Lord is coming, and he starts to wrap up this letter in chapter 4, verse 18. And he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another. And then he wraps it up in verses 12 through 24 of chapter 5, he says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Don't you love that? Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray consistently. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Prophecies, that's a first grade word. But test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He is faithful. Turn to your neighbor and say, he is faithful. Yes, ma'am. He will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us also. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. Our associate minister, Malcolm George at Lomax, he loves to greet everybody with a kiss. He's so precious. Anyways, I charge you by the Lord that this letter be read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Alrighty, we've got to encourage each other. Life is hard. Being a woman is hard. It is hard, but we've got to encourage each other. I saw a little thing on Pinterest. I love Pinterest, y'all. Y'all like Pinterest? It's the devil, I think, at times, but I do love it. Because there's no way you can do all that. But anyways, that's a whole other lesson. But I saw a thing that said, don't tear down someone else's crown, fix it. How true is that? It's hard. We don't need anybody else telling us, well, you didn't do that, and your kids are screaming, and your car's not washed, and your house. We're not even talking about a house. I told Blake, I said, Blake, listen, son, if I die in my bedroom, will you drag my body to the living room and then call somebody to help you take my body out? He's like, Mama. I said, son, I'm just saying, we've got stuff everywhere, and I don't want people to think, oh, is that how she really lived? But you know, he said, Mama, let me tell you, you're going to be okay. You won't care then. But yes, I will. I will come back from the... No. But you know what? That's it's hard. Life is hard. We need to encourage each other. I have a friend, and you all need a friend like this. One day at school, we were talking about how much laundry we had. And I said, y'all, I don't know how people say I'm through with all my laundry. Who does that? I mean, that's like saying, no, I don't want dessert. We cannot be friends. But she said that night she sent me a picture of her laundry room. She was like, hey, girl, what do you think so-and-so would say about this? I'm like, you are my hero. I love you. But you know what? It's true. Life is hard, and we need to encourage each other. We need to be that honey to their soul. Okay, so the first way is to encourage. The second way is to uplift. We need to uplift each other. We need to uplift. Now, you may think, well, what's the difference? Well, in a kindergarten world, here's the difference. Encourage is to keep, if somebody's going down the right path and doing the right thing, you want to keep them going in that way. Uplift, someone's fallen away. Someone's having hard luck. Someone's down. We need to bring them back up. We all know those people. I'm sure there's ladies in your congregation. There's ladies that you're in your family. There's ladies at your workplace who seem down. There's ladies who haven't been here. Check on them. They may need that word of hand. Hey, I missed you today. They may have been sick, or they may just felt like, it doesn't matter if I come or not. It doesn't matter. I'm not benefiting. They need us. We need to uplift. Life is hard, but guess what? God is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is good, girl. And everybody goes through hard times. It's easy to get down. It's easy to get depressed. And we may question, why is this happening to me? Have you ever said that? I have. And I'm thinking, somebody told me one time, they said, you know, the question we need to be asking is, why not me? Because, I mean, am I too good to have something bad happen to me? But guess what? We have God on our side. He's already won the battle. He has won it. He's won the war. We can use our words to uplift people. One way is, I've started praying, thank you, God, for loving me when I am unlovable. Now, I know I've just confessed right there, because sometimes I'm unlovable. Are y'all ever unlovable? Not just me? Yeah, thanks. Thanks for uplifting me there. But we are. Sometimes we're just unlovable. Sometimes our kids are unlovable when they eat your bacon and biscuit. I'm almost over that. I got one this morning at 6:30, and I took a picture of me eating it, and I sent it to Cole, and he got it when he woke up. But I did get him 2 sausage and biscuits, too. But we're just unlovable. But guess what? God loves us when we're unlovable. Isn't that amazing? Can you believe somebody loves us when we're unlovable? Well, guess what? Those people who are having hard times, they feel like God doesn't love them. But we can reassure them that what? God loves them. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves us. God loves us. When you're unlovable. You may not want to say you, but sorry, I meant to say I. Should have stuttered there and didn't, you know. But that's what happens. Now, I can't think about anybody being more uplifting than Jesus. Jesus was so uplifting. He can talk to people when they are hanging on by a thread, and he can change their world. Now, our job is, we can either push people down with our words. Well, I'm broke. My husband's left me. I've lost my job. Yeah, you're right. If you'd dressed up a little bit more, your husband might have stayed with you. Or if you'd been at work on time, they don't need to hear that. They don't need to hear that. They need to hear, hey, sister, God loves you. I love you. God's going to see you through this. I saw a thing that said, we have survived 100% of our worst days. And I love that, but I want to add, we have survived 100% of our worst days with God. Because we have. I don't see how people make it without him. They don't. God has already done it for us. Jesus is telling us things in this book. He's speaking to us right now. If you'll turn to John chapter 4, I love this encounter here. John chapter 4, there's a woman at a well. Okay, a Samaritan woman at a well. Now, Jesus is traveling through this region, and he stops at this well to rest, and there's a Samaritan woman there. Now, if you study her background and study more about her, she's at this well at a time when there's not many people there. How many, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but I can tell you what I've done. When I've gone through tough times, I've gone to Walmart at 10 o'clock at night, or I've gone to Walmart at 5 o'clock in the morning. You want to know why? Because I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want anybody asking me anything about it because I'm just thinking, don't look at me. I'm down on my luck right now. But yes, and that's when she's not at Walmart. I started to say, she's at Walmart, right? And she's at a well when there's not many people there. She's had some bad luck. And Jesus asked her here for a drink. Well, that just puzzled her to start with because she knew Jews and Samaritans were not supposed to be mixing. But he tells her, I can give you what? Living water. If you drink from my living water, you'll never thirst again. Now, how many of y'all have ever been so thirsty that you think, if I could just get a drink of something, anything, it would be amazing? Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a former cheerleader at Lewis County High School. I know it's hard to believe, but yeah, I cheered. And they had this alumni football game, and I decided I was going to cheer at it. I was the oldest one. Well, there was one more, Christy Bailey, your mama, Christy, she was with me. And she could do, I mean, we was out there, and by halftime I was thinking, if I could just have a drink of water, I think I'd be okay. I mean, I thought I was dying. And when my son brought a Gatorade, and it was like blue, and I took a drink of it, it was like, oh, the best water ever. Now, I don't like blue Gatorade, but at that time, it just seemed like it soaked in every pore in my throat. And I thought, okay, I think I can make the third and fourth quarter. I think I can do a toe touch. Look at there. I was doing pretty good. All because of that blue Gatorade. But you know what? This is what Jesus has not given us bottles of Nestle water, even though Nestle and Dasani are better than Aquafina. Just throwing that out there. But he's given us living water. He's given us him. He's given us this word. We'll never thirst again. Isn't that amazing? He's doing more for this woman right here than anybody could ever do for her. She's down on her luck, and he's uplifting her. We can do that. We can go out into our communities, into our homes, and we can uplift each other. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to uplift. We're going to be that honey to their soul. Okay, so we're going to encourage, and we're going to uplift. Now, the third thing that I believe this scripture helps us to see is that we need to use our words to teach. Yes, we need to teach. Have you heard that song, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go? I think we talked about that earlier. That's so true. There's that one verse that says, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Well, guess what? People are listening all the time. Now, Matthew ever so often will bring me something up to my classroom, and he'll usually come to my window. Well, one day I made the statement of somebody said, Miss Farr, there's a strange man at our door, at our window. And I'm like, oh, that's my boyfriend. Said that. You know, that little girl went home and said, Miss Farr has a boyfriend and a husband. Now, I am good looking, but I'm not. No, I'm just, Well, so the mother got tickled because she knows me, and she sent me a Facebook message, and she told me, she was like, oh, by the way, Braylon says you have a boyfriend and a husband. And I'm like, but they listen to everything you say. I had a little boy one day. He's so serious, and he was trying to tell me something, and I said, bless you. I said, well, cut my legs off and call me Shorty. And he kind of sat there a minute, and then he walked off. And then he came back. He said, I really don't know if I could call you Shorty. Well, I got tickled, but I thought, you know what? They listen to everything we say. There is somebody listening to everything you say. So your words that you say, are you teaching them about God? Are you teaching them about Jesus? Are you teaching about how Jesus died on the cross for you? Turn to your neighbor and say, newsflash, Jesus died on the cross for you. He did. He did. He did. You are teaching others without even knowing it. So be sure that you're speaking in a way that's going to be pleasing to God. Be sure that you're speaking. Be intentional when you talk to others about Jesus. My boys get so, well, now that Blake doesn't ride to school with us, but Cole, he gets so aggravated because in the morning, I'll just out of the blue, I'm like, you know what? You know what God's done? Let me tell you what God's done. He has done this. And let me tell you, and he's like, Mama, I know what God, I'm like, no, you don't know. You don't have a clue, son. I don't have a clue what God's done for you. Because every morning is a brand new day. He gives us every day. He gives us that day. We're not even worthy to have that day, but he gives it to us. So we need to be teaching others. When I think about teachers, my mind starts to think about people who are older. Sorry if you're older. Older, more knowledgeable in certain areas, like crocheting, okay? I used to cross-stitch. I loved cross-stitching. I was pretty good at cross-stitching. But I decided a few years ago I was going to crochet. So I go to my mom's, and she's trying to tell me how to crochet, and I'm like, never mind, I'll just Google it on YouTube. Because she already knew how to do it, and she said, I'm not a very good teacher. And I'm like, yeah, you're really not. No. I told her, I said, you're great. I love how you know. Yeah, but I'm thinking, no, we're Googling this thing. But you know what? Some people can just teach others. But we can all teach somebody. And guess what? God doesn't ask you to be brilliant in the Bible. All he asked you to do is share it with somebody and let him do the rest. I can't help but think about Jesus. And when Jesus was in the temple, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 2. If you're like me, I have to go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then, oh, y'all know what I learned Wednesday night in ladies' class? Do y'all know there's a song to the Old Testament books? Oh, I didn't. Our preacher's wife, she was doing that Genesis, and I thought, well, she's talking in tongues. And I thought, what is she saying up there? Because she was kind of singing along. And I just, of course, raised my hand. I'm like, hey, girl, what are you doing? And she said, that song, the Old Testament books. And I'm thinking, what Old Testament book songs? Where have I been on? I said, they did not teach us that at Kimmins. I'm going back to Kimmins to say, hey, y'all did not know the Old Testament book song, but that's a pretty neat book song. But anyway, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. And it's talking about the childhood of Jesus. It says, every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. I bet he didn't eat their bacon and biscuit either. I'm almost over that. I'm sorry, y'all. Why were you searching for me? He asked them. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house? but they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and his people. Okay, God can use us. He can use anybody. It doesn't matter if you're 12 years old, if you're 99 years old, he can use you to teach someone something. Jesus was just a young boy, and he was sitting there listening and asking questions, but he was also teaching them as well. And then he went on to teach his own people. What an example he is. What an example he was to all around him. I loved verse 52. My version here says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people." That should be our goal, that we increase in wisdom, in godly wisdom, and we our favor with God and his people. I saw a little quote that said, "Speak to your children as if they are the wisest, kindest, most beautiful, and magical humans on the earth, for what they believe is what they will become." This girl named Brooke Hampton said this, and I really like it, but I'd like to add something else to it. I want to add, speak to everyone this way, not just our kids. Speak to everyone you meet, because everyone you meet was made in the image of Christ. Everyone you meet has a purpose. Everyone you meet is put in your path for a reason. And our reason is to bless them. Three things: encourage, uplift, and teach. Turn to your neighbor and say, three things.
Three things.
Encourage.
Encourage.
Uplift.
Uplift.
And teach.
And teach.
Thank you. Now we need to be that honey to their soul. All right, ladies, we have a job to do. We have a job to do. We are to be the honey in a world of sour things. Let's read Proverbs 16:24 one more time. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste and health to the body. Ladies, let's use our words to change our world. Let's use our words to encourage. Let's use our words to uplift. Let's use our words to teach. Let's be that honey. Now, I hope you've learned a little bit. If nothing else, I've hoped you learned something about me. Like, I'll never want to listen to her again. Or I hope you've had fun, if nothing else. These ladies here at this church have put on a tremendous ladies' day. This was awesome. This is awesome. Thank you. This is awesome. Now, I do want to end with a joke, because I believe you. Yes, ma'am.
Could you tell the Matthew story?
Ooh, which one?
About when you decided not to have any more children.
Him being fixed? I'll have to step away from the podium for that. My husband is precious, y'all. And he decided after our second child, we're done. And I was going to have my tubes tied, whatever. And he said, "No, baby, no. I got this." And I thought, "Go right ahead, big boy." Well, he did. He was spayed, neutered. Let's see, neuter or spayed? Which one is it? I don't even know what it is. But he was fixed. Well, I, being the good wife that I was, I stayed there with him and got him all fixed. Well, his doctor told him to use frozen peas. Did y'all know that frozen peas are like an ice bag? You know, so he told him to use frozen peas. So I set him fit. He was fixed up at Hornwall with his frozen peas. We were good to go. So I go back to Mount Pleasant where I was working that day, and they had just put phones in our classrooms. We had phones in our classroom. Big mistake, I think, anyway. But I'm sitting there, and I'm teaching away, and all of a sudden, the phone rings, and it says, "My house." And I answer it, and I'm like, "Hey, baby." He's like, "You got to get home. You got to get home now." And I was like, "What happened?" He said, "I have set up gangrene." My first graders are listening to me. I said, "Gangrene," and they were like, "What's gangrene?" Gangrene. I said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I don't know, but you've got to get home now." And I'm like, "Oh my word!" So I hang up. Well, my principal, he moved, and I don't know why he moved my room right across from his office, but he did. So I go busting into his office, Mr. Brown, "I need a sub. Matthew has set up gangrene. I gotta get home." And he's like, "Okay, I'm okay." So I'm in there trying to myself. Well, I'm trying to first graders, what's game green, Miss Farr? Is it really green? Has your husband turned around? I'm like, no, baby, no. We're good. Well, Mr. Brown comes in there, and he's like, you go ahead and go. I've got it. Well, the phone's ringing again, and it's Matthew. And I'm like, I'm trying. So I answer it, and he's like, never mind. Never mind. I said, what? He said, well, I went. He said, I took a pain pill and went to sleep. He said, I woke up, and the pee bag had busted. And he said, this smell of unfrozen peas all over our bed, he said, I got scared. And I got to, so I'm laughing, and Mr. Brown's like, is he okay? And he said, just stay at work. So I hung up, and I said, I couldn't even tell Mr. Brown. He was like, do you need me to drive you? I was like, so I told him, and then Mr. Brown shook his head. He said, go home with your husband. He said, he needs to be home. So I tell him all the time, I said, you won't even walk by the frozen pea section at the grocery store no more. He's like, that was not funny. And he said, and it was very traumatic for me, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, try birthing two kids. That's traumatic for me too. But I knew he was my soulmate when yeah. And also when I met him at the Lewis County Fair. How many of y'all met your husbands at the fair? He wasn't working. I mean, he was there. I was on like this, like tilt-a-whirl thing, and I saw him, and it was so hot. I mean, it's August, it's Lewis County, it's hot, and he's walking down the fair lane, and he has on this purple silk shirt, and it's tucked in, and he has pit stains, and I'm like, that's a man right there. So, he's so cute. But yeah, I have never had a request for that story before. I don't know if I'll tell him I told that story. Because coming over here, I was talking to him, and he was like, you're going to do a great job. I know you're going to do great. He said, you're just great. I said, well, thank you. I said, thank you. And he said, but don't tell this story, and don't tell this one. And I mean, and there were like several stories. He's like, don't tell. I said, well, I can't. No, you can't tell that story either. I'm like, okay, I won't tell that story either. But he didn't mention that one. But I do want to end you with any more requests. I love that. I love that. I'm trying to think. Oh, I do want to end with a joke, and I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but there was this Bible salesman, and he was a stutterer. He stuttered so bad he could not even say a complete sentence, and his boss couldn't figure out how he could sell all these Bibles and couldn't even say a complete sentence. So he sent this other guy with him. He said, you go with him, and you see how he sells these Bibles. So they're walking up to their first house, and the guy who stutters, he's just grinning, you know, not saying a word. And this other guy's like, how does he do it? So they go up there at the door, and the guy knocks, and the lady answers. He says, you want to buy a Bible, or you want me to read it to you? Now, if you don't get that, turn to somebody that's laughing, and they'll explain it to you. But I thought that's funny. I was like, that's pretty good right there. See, I must like y'all because I didn't really stutter a lot with y'all. That's pretty cool. Well, I hope you've learned. If nothing else, I've hoped you laugh today. I've enjoyed this lesson. It stepped on my toes in more ways than one. Thursday night at parent-teacher conferences, I had a woman and her little girl, she said she cries every morning. She won't wear the clothes I pick out for her, and she even picks out her own clothes. Is she still crying when she comes down to your room? And I'm like, no, she's bebopping in here. She's good, you know. She said, well, I know that I'm not supposed to yell at her when she gets out of the car because I don't want her to have a bad day. And I know I don't need to yell at her when she's going to bed because I want her to sleep good. She said, when am I supposed to yell at her? And I was sitting there and I was like, well, you know, I don't know. But I thought, that's pretty funny because she was like, I don't want to yell at her. I said, when do I yell at her? And I thought, so I kind of got tickled and I thought, yeah, Proverbs 16:24. Yeah, you are honey, honey, honey. But thank you for having me. I've had a ball, and thank you.